statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Given that we should discuss and talk about, and the title is Be Sure Your Persecution Is for Righteousness' Sake. Be sure your persecution is for righteousness' sake. And obviously, from that title, we're going to go to the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And we're taking our teaching today from verse 10 of Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, and verse 10, which says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So that is what I'm calling this teaching today. Be sure your persecution is for righteousness' sake. Now, it's interesting, just to briefly get into this, the Beatitudes describe the aspects of our walk and character of a disciple. When you read the Beatitudes, this is how a disciple should walk. This is how our Lord walked. And it's interesting that the first four, they deal with the inward life. In other words, the motive, the heart, which it says here, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And it continues on, where it then brings us into our relationship and our conduct, particularly with others. For example, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." So we are called to be of peace and not of trouble. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So it then moves on, in which it's dealing with the outward life, how we live, how we come over. And that's why I really want to deal with verse 10. You see, up until the 8th and 9th Beatitude, it's experience. And then it has to be translated into experiences. It's no good just reading these and knowing that, yes, it all sounds rather nice and rather plausible, but these are to be experienced. Those that are merciful obtain mercy. It's to be experienced. The meek, we're told, if you're meek, you inherit the earth. If you hunger for righteousness, you will be filled. So these should be working within us. There should be something there that's confirming through the new birth that God is getting us to walk as disciples and followers of the Lord. Now, the righteousness of our walk, it challenges. As it says here in verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So our righteousness, our righteous acts, will bring about persecution. It challenges. Our walk challenges. Our walk challenges the powers of darkness, the devil of this world. Our walk can create indignation. It can even upset professing Christians who are just lukewarm or sitting on the fence. In fact, you get a lot from them. You see, our righteousness is commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are committed completely to him, it will in time bring persecution, as he did. And that is the point. And that is why it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You see, Jesus' promises that this will happen. It happened to him, it happened to the early Christians, and it happens to us. For example, let's look at some scriptures to confirm this. In the Gospel of John, John 18, John 18 and verse 27. And it speaks of where Peter denies the Lord. His works were not righteous. He denied the Lord through fear. And then as it reads there, we know the story well. Peter then denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Something had to change in his life. And we know the way how the Lord restored him back by challenging him, Peter, do you love me? And three times he said this to him. And then on the third time, Peter realized he could not love God, Jesus, in his own flesh, his own strength. He said, you know all things. In other words, it's over to you. I'm at your mercy, your grace, your work in my life. And that is what happens. This is what God does with an overcomer. He is going to bring us to an experience like Peter, where he's going to challenge us. And he's going to speak several times until it drops from our head to our hearts, that we realize that we cannot do it in ourselves. That our faith has to reach out to the one who will do it in and through us. And it means a bowing of the knee. Really, what Peter was displaying there was a bowing of the knee. He was bowing his knee at long last. He was hot-headed before. He was going to do it. It was all going to be in his strength. And yes, I'll lay my life down for you and so on. But the Lord knew The Lord knew it wasn't righteous. It was not a righteous act. And that was the point. And we think we do righteous acts at times, but we don't. It's because we're blind. We're not seeing. We're not experiencing the power of God in our weakness. What does it say in John 16, verse 33? Know this well, don't we? And these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, our persecution for righteousness' sake, the Lord says here, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You will have tribulation, you will have trial, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so, as he has overcome the world, so we likewise will and do overcome. That is the wonderful promise. That even though the trials may be on or for a season, you will overcome. You will come through. Because you are righteous before God. And then we turn also to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if you desire to be followers of the Lord and to live a godly life, you are going to suffer persecution. Persecution. That is the way to make it into the kingdom of heaven. We must go through much trial and tribulation. There are trials, and every trial is a test. Every trial is tailor-made. Every trial is to make you more like Jesus and to experience more of him. That is what these trials do. So these trials, although they may look negative, indeed they're not, they're anything but. These trials have a very positive effect, preparing us, maturing us, getting us ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of them. And as we just simply stay in there and endure, and allow God to do that work, we come through the other side. And we've all experienced that. You see, so often in our trials, we want to help God. We want to defend ourselves. We want our rights, and so on. But no, in a trial, we're like sheep, lambs to the slaughter. Like Jesus, he didn't retaliate when they took him to Calvary and crucified him. And it's the same with us. We don't need to retaliate. We don't need to defend ourselves, for God will do it. And it's always, always a bigger picture than what we can see and how God does it. And so it's important, isn't it, that we have to be sure our trials, persecutions are for righteousness' sake. And that is an important one. You see, it mustn't be chastisement or our shortcomings or sin. I know some Christians who've really got this mixed up. And it's generally pride that does it, where it's their own sin or their own shortcomings. And they get up and give a testimony, oh, I have been persecuted for righteousness' sake. No, they haven't. It's God chastening them. It's God trying to get their attention. It's God trying to work deliverance in them. And you see, they believe the devil's lie. The devil will let you think you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. He'll let you think it. And so we have to walk humbly, close with God. And if we do, then it's going to be always for righteousness' sake. Now, the idea of righteousness here, in the context of the Beatitudes, it means it's learning God's ways. This righteousness, being persecuted for righteousness' sake, it's learning God's ways, the righteous ways, His righteous ways. It's something that you learn. It's learning His will. And that's why we labour in the Word of God. That's why we come on to meetings, to hear the Word of God, to learn His will. And by learning His will, we get this idea of righteousness, this righteous standard. It's a standard. Remember, I gave a teaching last week that God sets the bar for faith. He sets the bar for everything. And nobody can attain it. Nobody can keep it. That is why you need to become a new creation. Filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the power of God will raise you to that standard that is pleasing in His sight. And so it's the same with righteousness. We learn His will. We learn His ways. Righteousness means to be accepted. It's acceptable before God. It's accepting His teachings. It's accepting His word. It's allowing the word to change us and mold us more and more into His image. It's all about learning God's will, and it's obeying that will. This is the idea of righteousness. And if that is working in your heart, your life, you desire all of that which I've just said, then you will be persecuted because of that. You'll be persecuted because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be persecuted because you want to obey Him. You will be persecuted because you want to listen to His word. You want to come to the meetings. You want to have your quiet time, your prayer time with God. They cause problems. They cause problems right in your family. Your family don't like it when you put God first, the kingdom of God first. You put the meeting first, or your time with God first, or whatever it is. That will cause persecution. And that is for righteousness' sake. And very often, the devil uses the closest ones to us to do that. What do we do? Do we compromise? Can we do it in our own strength? No. We ask God to help us. To help us to be faithful. To help us to put the kingdom first. We do that because we know we're weak in this. We know we'll give in to them otherwise. We'll give in to the things of this world, the spirit of this age. We can't do it in ourselves. That's why we're baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And God will do it in and through us if it's what we want. What does it say in Matthew, turning back to Matthew 5? Turn back to Matthew 5. We're dealing with the Beatitudes here. Verse 10, the one about being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Verse 20 of Matthew 5. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes, Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's quite something there that Jesus raises, because the scribes and Pharisees were zealots, very, very committed to the law, committed to their religion, committed to their worship. They were separated, sanctified from the people, but they were blind. That was their problem. They were proud, arrogant, and yet he says, our righteousness must exceed that. So that's quite a challenge there, is it not? And what does it say in verse 48 of the same chapter? Matthew 5. Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, perfection means completion. You have to come to a completed state. The Holy Spirit is going to make you perfect. In other words, he's going to complete. In other words, he completes that which he hath started in you and me. That's what it means. And we don't hinder him. We don't stop him from doing it. Our lives are yielded. And it takes the cross in which to do that. You see, the overcomers have a revelation that Christ in you is completing this walk. He's doing this walk in and through you. It's that absence of resistance. It's that yielding over when he touches on a point instead of resisting. Because if we start resisting, it may take time. It may take a couple of years when God comes back and he highlights that point, that area again. 2 years wasted when you could have just yielded there and then God takes over. We at times are our own worst enemy. That's why the cross that we take up daily following the Lord, that works that within us. Because we are only too aware the Spirit within us is the one who does it. He knows how to glorify his name. He knows how to bring forth the overcomers in these last days. And he will perfect us. He will mature us. He will complete us in the deeper life walk. Now don't ask me how he does this, how he will do it. All I know is he will do it. He has promised, he has said, he is God, and he can do it. What we are to do is simply believe that and not doubt. Even though you may have fallen short, even though maybe God is dealing with sin in your life, he has still said it. That is the point. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21-29. What does it say here? To those who resist, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, it wasn't righteous. That was the point. You wanted your own way. You want to be a Christian, but you still want to be in control. You want to be a Christian, but you want to do it your way. And you meet countless professing believers who live and act like that. They haven't a clue about a life that is yielded over, committed to God. That's why Jesus said, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. Broad is the way, and many there be that go that way. That's what it's saying. So those that experience this, the promise is there. The promise is the kingdom of heaven. To those who hunger, let's go back to the Beatitudes. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're on your way to heaven. That is where you're going to be. That is where you're going to dwell eternally. In heaven. Because you chose righteousness. Now, it's interesting that God's righteousness and his righteousness is imputed to us. He has made us right in Christ Jesus. That is the miracle, the mystery of salvation. He has declared us right before God, where we were wrong before. So that righteous declaration that Christ has declared over us will come out in our actions, in our faith, in our walk, in everywhere. That righteous standard is going to be there in whatever we say or do. Now it's interesting, in Acts 13, and verse 10, here it speaks of where Satan attacks this. And he said, O full of all deceit, all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Here was where Paul was preaching at Cyprus, and Elymas the sorcerer withstood Saul, Paul, and he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit and so on. But Paul had discerned. Paul had seen this man, saw that his righteous standard, his righteousness didn't meet the standard. It was devilish, demonic. So we find that Satan attacks that righteousness in our lives. Christ that has made us right, given us a right standing, he can attack that very subtly. We also see from the scriptures that righteousness has to be learned. We don't get it immediately. I already showed you how God restored Peter after he denied him. He's now going to start to teach him. That's why he had to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher. He's going to start to teach Peter, the same as he's teaching us. What does it say in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17? Romans chapter 1 verse 17. For in all the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. So it's saying here, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As we grow in the faith, we believe the word that is preached to us, the word that we are hearing today, as we believe on this word, so God is going to teach us more about righteousness, because it has to be learnt. You don't get it immediately. We then turn to Romans 6, where we see that righteousness is acts of obedience. Romans 6, verse 16. Romans 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slave to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? So obedience leads us, points us, in other words, it keeps us focused on righteousness. So when you obey, righteousness is the standard. That is what is there. You are doing a righteous act by faith. You're meeting the demands. You're believing by faith. It says also in the same chapter, in chapter 6 of Romans and verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So in other words, we learn righteousness. We become obedient to it. We enslave ourselves to it. We won't fight against it. Whatever that righteous standard requires of us, we yield over, we do it. That's what it means there. And then this righteousness, this righteous standard, is a sign in our lives. Romans 14 and verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. Sorry, now verse 17. I was reading the wrong verse there. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there we are. So our righteousness, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, which a lot of people think it is. They think because they live well, they have the abundant life, they eat and they drink and they're blessed. That's because of righteousness. Now, I'm all for prosperity. I'm all for being blessed. You know that. And what we're blessed with, we share. Because that's the secret to it, if you like. But that's not about righteousness. It says, but righteousness is peace, joy, in the Holy Spirit. So your righteousness, the standard of righteousness in your life, is seen by peace. It's seen by joy. And there it comes out. It's a joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the peace of God in your life. So these are the signs in our lives that we are righteous, and that if we are persecuted, then we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And there is the difference. And not because of our own folly, our sin, or whatever it would be. We don't try and spiritualize it. If you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, that will advertise itself. God will glorify his name through that. You don't have to work at that at all. It will be seen. That is the point. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, the great chapter where the saints are here who walked in righteousness. Hebrews 11, let's take it up. Let's take it up from verse 30. And these all walked by faith, and they overcame by faith. Because faith is the key to everything. Faith is the key to our righteousness. The standard of that righteousness. It's simply believing that God will do it. Whatever the circumstances, whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling. Whether you have fallen flat on your face, or you have sinned. Keep believing. Hold in there. And God will do it. That's what it means. Because these are how these saints walk. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also David and Samuel and the prophets. These are all men, people who fell short of faith at times, but their righteous deeds, their acts were acceptable before God, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings, scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So these are all righteous deeds and acts. These persecutions, and they're pretty horrific, some of them. It was because they were right. God had made them right. And so because they chose to follow God and not the God of this world, they suffered at times for it. And you will. And sometimes it comes right out of your family. That is the point. We see the first murder, Cain, Abel. Abel offered that sacrifice. And as a result, it was righteous. It was accepted. And Cain slew his brother. You see, it was righteous, accepted before God. That is the whole point. What does it say in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily snares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There it is. At the end of the day, it is Jesus in you that is going to do it. And he will do it because he's the forerunner. He has gone before and prepared the way. He has triumphed. He has overcome. He has overcome the powers of death. He's overcome the enemy. He's put the enemy down as his footstool. Look what he has done for us so that we can do these righteous acts and deeds. And these righteous acts and deeds mean that we do it with the right heart, the right motive. So that when we give, or we give our love offerings, our love gifts, we give it with the right heart, the right motive. When we help someone who's down or destitute, we do it with the right heart and motive, not to show everyone what a good person we are. There's a lot of people who call themselves Christians who do a lot of deeds, but very often they actually need what they're doing. They actually need it. And the reason they need it, because they are convinced, the devil's got them, that God is pleased with them and that justifies them. And it doesn't. There's nothing you can do that will justify you. It is divinely given as a gift. God has made us right in the presence of God. In other words, he's declared. He has spoken it. It's a declaration. And therefore, our deeds, what we say, what we do, how we live, has a righteous standard to it. And we've shown how we learn this. We're ever learning it all the time. And the one that's doing it is the one who's the author and finisher of our faith. You see, confession of sin causes us to be right before God. And you will be persecuted as a result. Very often when we repent, very often when we confess our sin or whatever it will be, we then find we can be persecuted for that very thing. Why? Because you're righteous. God has forgiven you. And the devil doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like saints who are forgiven. The devil doesn't like saints who confess, who are honest before God, who bow their knee before God, who call upon God for that change of heart, and so on. The devil doesn't like it because he's lost hold over you. And not only has he lost hold over you, but the spirit within you opens your eyes to see his devilish work and what he's up to. And that's for a reason, so that we get into prayer, into warfare, that we divide the powers of darkness. That is why the enemy buffets us like he does. I think you can fully agree with me that when we get into real prayer or we get into warfare, whoa, doesn't the devil have a go? He tries every trick of the book to keep you out of that anointing, that praying, that interceding. I find many times he tries to attack on that, and then I think, yes, why is this happening? He wouldn't be attacking like this unless I'm breaking through, unless God's answering. Sometimes he's got more insight on that than we have, but only a partial insight, I might say. But the point is that it's as we confess, it's as we get delivered in this. That's why I keep saying to you that the deeper life, its nature is deliverance. And that's why the devil tries to stop us. He doesn't want us delivered. He doesn't want us free. But the Lord has declared, whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. And that is his word, and we choose to believe it. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. That's what we've been talking about. Be sure your persecutions is for righteousness' sake. We've had a look at this evening, that make sure that we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We've looked at the idea, the term of righteous, what God has done, how he has declared, made us righteous. And now our acts, our deeds, everything we say we do must meet that righteous standard. And we've also shown how the enemy tries to attack that righteousness in us. We've shown that righteousness has to be learnt, has to be taught. We've also looked tonight that righteousness is that yielding to the Spirit, the absence of resistance, in other words, obedience. And above all, that righteousness is the sign in our lives. And so if it's there, we will at times get persecuted. But something within you will be able to rise up and praise and thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that you answer questions, things maybe that we shelve or we wait upon. You're always faithful to answer and to show. And Lord, may we be righteous in whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever our actions, that they will always be of a righteous standard that glorifies you. And we know that we can only do this as we yield to the Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless my brothers and sisters. Be with them through this week. Preserve and keep them, Father.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon